Well, I hit the gavel, now I've got to say something. First I want to say is cell phones are notoriously interesting devices that often trigger at the worst between syllables usually. So if you've got one, disable it. Number two, before us we have at the Resources Committee, we have Representative Edgman, Faircloth, Seaton, co-chairs Gatto and Johnson, Representative Roses and Kawasaki, others to follow. When we were here last, we were dealing with Representative Newman's raw milk, sale of raw milk products, and we adjourned before we were able to conclude public testimony. We had some more people that wanted to testify on this bill, but interestingly, I have someone here in the audience that wants to testify, and you're going to think I'm really smart when I pronounce her name because it's a difficult name to pronounce. So. Gohar, don't stop there. Let me get the rest of it. Dear John, Janava?
Yeah.
Okay, would you come forward? And the clerk here is going to try to print your name correctly. For the record, go ahead and have a seat. And what we'd like you to do is, for the sake of the clerk, go ahead and spell your last name, comma, spell your first name, and then tell us why, interesting thing, what nationality that is, and then who you are and who you represent. That's a lot of things, but go ahead and do the spelling first.
Okay, Y-E-R-Z-H-A-N-O-V-A. Dear Janava.
And your first name?
Comma.
Go ahead and spell it
G-A-
for her.
G-A-U-K. H-A-R. Gohar.
Fabulous. And the nationality?
I'm from Kazakhstan, and
Kazakhstan.
I'm Kazakh.
Okay. And now that we have your name, do you have an affiliation of a group that you're with?
I'm with exchange program, PAX exchange program, Program of Academic Exchange, and more like I'm from a former Soviet Union country, so it's FLEX program.
All right.
Exchange program.
So someone on the panel here that you work with? Pam?
Okay. Yes, Pam, yeah.
Well, we have Representative Faircloth.
Mr. Chairman, this is a constituent that's currently going to Eagle River High School.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, tell us about, never mind, just kidding. Okay. you want to talk to us about raw milk?
Yeah. I'm familiar with this bill, and what I think is raw milk has to be available and affordable for American, like Alaskan citizens, because it's natural product and it's good for economy as well. And I think that as meat and eggs, it has bacteria in it, and I can understand it, but in my country, in Kazakhstan, and in former Soviet Union countries, raw milk is available always, and it's more expensive sometimes because it's healthy. So I think that milk, raw milk, has to be because it's option. American citizens have to have option to get the raw milk. You're not forced to buy it, even if it has bacteria, even if it's not healthy for babies. It has to be just, you have to have option to get it.
Okay. I have a question for you. You've been a consumer back home of raw milk. How do you, when you purchase it, when you buy it, do you go to a store or to a farmer or right to a cow?
To a farmer, I guess.
To a farmer?
Yeah.
And when you see the milk, it's already in a container?
Yeah, or? It's in container. You cannot see how they got it, but it is in container. Yeah, it is. But, I mean, there is no really, like, test and certification about what is it exactly, but
okay. Representative Faircloth,
I mean, in America, you can, I think you can afford yourself to certify it and, like, justify what is it. And, but I think it has to be available as a rolled meal.
She has a question for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gohar, when we spoke earlier today and we talked about raw milk, you told me that there's a process that your mother has to go through, though, when you buy the raw milk. Can you tell me what that process is?
We just have a bazaar, just a grocery, so she can go there and get, she has some, like, familiar people who, like, farmers, she knows them already, and she also can order for some people in village, in farmers. It's the same thing as you buy meat. I mean, you buy raw meat and you cook it, and the milk is the same thing. You just boil it. You don't have to, you shouldn't actually drink raw milk. But raw milk has a like natural bacteria in it, and it's very healthy as it is. When I came first in America, in Alaska, I was really wondered that you have so many, like, let's say, artificial products in Fred Meyer. Yeah, I mean, I'm saying that I saw, and you divide products for organic and not organic, and it's just, it was really different for me. It was difficult. I was wondering.
When you say Fred Meyer has artificial products,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm just saying any market, okay?
Yeah, but artificial meaning. Cheese meaning what?
No, I'm not saying cheese or something. No, I'm just saying, like, vegetables too. You have organic and non-organic.
Yeah.
And it's weird for me.
Okay. This is Representative Seaton. He has a question for you.
Thank you. I didn't quite hear. Did you say you, when you consume the raw milk, you boil it?
Oh, yeah. My mom does.
So you boil the raw milk instead of drinking it raw?
I do it sometimes, drink it raw, but my mom doesn't like it. You're supposed to boil it, of course.
Supposed to boil. Okay.
But I think it's different than it is. If it boiled like at home, it's different than it being pasteurized and sterilized in farmers. I don't know, wherever.
I have a great question. When you boil it, do you mean you bring it under heat so that it's bubbling?
Yeah, it's bubbling.
So, you know the temperature when it's bubbling? You can do centigrade.
I don't know.
You don't know?
It has to be, like, bubbled.
So
boiled.
It is boiling, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, lots of people went through it, and I think Americans, too, like, before we had this kind of fabric that pasteurized it, I think everyone had tried to drink raw milk, boiled milk. So it's not a high rate of deaths of drinking raw milk, but it's just option, right?
Okay. When you have infants, babies, the newborn, do you give them raw milk without boiling or only with boiling?
Only with boiling.
Okay. Why is that?
Because you have to kill some bacteria, but not all of them.
Okay. Ladies, gentlemen, any other questions? All right.
I don't have a question, but have a comment.
There, we have another student that wants to testify.
Yeah, I would like to support my friend.
We need you up here. Harry, we're going to put you in the barrel.
Okay.
So go on, come up and join her or take her seat. Thank you very much, Gohar.
Yeah.
Oh, here, sit together.
Yeah, I would like to join her. Thanks.
Join her. That's fine. And you have to talk into that microphone because everything is written on the record. And so first tell us your name, and if it's a very complicated name, then you have to spell it.
Okay, my name is Miriam Bakhtibekovna, so my last name...
Oh, we know that.
The last...
You have to spell that
okay,
for
my
us.
My last name is Bakhtibekovna.
You're entitled to a challenge there.
I
think I got it. Got the first name?
Miriam.
Miriam?
Yeah, and my first name is M-E-E-R-I-M.
Miriam, okay. This is the international day for the committee here.
Yeah.
So go ahead and do you go to Eagle River also?
No, I'm going to the South Anchorage High School.
Which one?
South.
South Anchorage.
Oh, that's the name. No, I used to think in South Anchorage. Yeah,
yes,
sorry.
South Anchorage.
Sorry.
So, and I'm an exchange student from Kyrgyzstan, and as a
now from you're gonna have to spell that for us too.
K Y R G Y Z S T A N.
Okay. Thank you very much for being here and willing to stand up and come forward and give us your thoughts.
Thank you.
We want to hear them. So go ahead with the testimony.
Okay, I would like to just support like my friend. I mean, like as I'm from Kyrgyzstan, and as a developing country, Kyrgyzstan is also buys the raw milk too, you know, and it doesn't go through like all factories and like you know like medicine and stuff, just you know. Some people are like in rural places, they're really poor, and they're living by that, you know. They have a cows, and they really, you know, they like treat with medicine the cows and stuff, like to, you know,
yeah,
to stay healthy and stuff. And they take the milk and just, you know, bring to the cities and just sell them. And the people know it, and the people just can't buy that, you know, the milk from factory because it's too expensive for them. And they just buy it and boil it, and everybody drinks it. Like in Kyrgyzstan, many families has a lot of children and still need milk kids because it's healthy. And everybody just boil it, and everybody's fine. I mean, nobody like you know get like sick or something. Well, for good of the nation, and you know, like when, everybody boils it in.
When you purchase it, you say at the market in the city. Is
not
that a, you
not
buy?
As a market, not as a market, like as a bread man, not like a,
it's a bazaar.
Go went through cashier and get
on
a
the street and,
receipt. No,
yeah, I think
not like that, not this way. It's just a bazaar, grocery bazaar.
The people just came, just take like a lot of bowls from with milk with them, and just came and just you know even like it's outside. It's not in the place in the like you know building or something. It's just outside and like in the winter, in the summer, in the hot summers or like cold winters. It doesn't really matter. They just sell them. Well, and the other people really like you know, they maybe trust them too, but you know, they can't just you know buy the highest one too, you know the expensive one. So they. Because this nature, this is like from the villages where it's like the cows is like, you know, mountains and like, you know, they really healthy and stuff. So they kind of just bowl it and drink it. And the babies drink it too. Yeah.
And again, is the milk, you all, and is any of the milk you buy not boiled before drinking?
It's not boiled. The person is supposed to like boil like through like 6 to 8 minutes or like to 10 minutes, and it's all, we think that it's all bacteria is gone.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, and everybody drinks it. Like, you know, we every day drink the tea with milk, like, you know, instead of soda, we like drink tea more, like, or instead coffee or something. Yeah, and I would like to support my friend and just to say that it's raw milk is really important. I mean, United States is really developed country, and I think United States can, you know, give an opportunity to the people, to the farmers, you know, to go through all the medical stuff, to just, you know, but to give the people the raw milk, the natural one.
This is Representative Wilson. She has a question for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is, so when you boil the milk, it actually comes to a rolling boil, and then you time it?
It has limited time. Like, you cannot keep it for a long time. For example, I know you have, not you, but you can keep milk for a long time if you bought it in market. We cannot. We don't keep lots of dairy products for a long time. It just has limited time, and if it's like 7 days or something, I don't know. Close to
follow up,
please.
I guess what I was wondering, if you just got it warm enough so that there was this film on the top, and that if it was hot enough then, or if it had to be really boiled with a rolling boil, and then
it
you
has
said
to
something
be
about 7 minutes. So I was wondering.
No, it's not 7 minutes.
I mean, it's like you can keep like you know, like through maybe like I don't know, like some people does. Like for example, my mom, she's boiled like for. Like 6 to 8 minutes all the time because she like likes just keep longer. But some people just do, you know, some people just keep like 3 minutes or like 4 minutes or 5 minutes. It doesn't really matter. I mean, when you start like bowling, you just look at the time. Oh, like probably like 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Oh, it's ready. And just
you
can drink
it. You have to really boil it.
Yeah. And I was like really, when I came here, it's like all different. The food, everything. And it's a nice experience too, but it took me a like long time to you know, kind of
adapt
to everything. And in the mornings when I like drank the milk, it wasn't like, you know, it's something like not there, not in the milk. It's just the water, just, you know, mix it with the milk. It doesn't have any taste. I mean, sorry, but it has, but you know, but
it's not a milk taste.
For me, it seems like really different. And but I really like the food and everything here. It's really like unusual, different.
Which food do you like the best?
Actually, I like Mexican food.
And pizza, and everybody likes pizza. Just a simple question. The milk here, mm-hmm. we have lots of kinds. We have fat-free, zero fat. That is going to taste watery to you. Then we have regular milk, which is 3.5% fat. Yeah. So if you pick the fat-free milk, it's going to taste
like
not
water.
Very good.
It doesn't taste like milk at all.
And yet there are people here who don't like the taste of the regular milk. So it's a nice country. It gives you a choice. Pick this one, this one, this one, this one. Mm-hmm. When you buy milk, I'm just curious about this.
Okay.
Go to the bazaar, the market, and you get the milk in what kind? You bring a container or they give you a container?
We have a special container. We call it banca.
Mr. Chairman,
yep, sorry.
Point of order. The students are trying to learn about our government, and our clerk is trying to follow who's speaking. So since you're talking more than just individual testimony, there should be a pause, and you need to identify yourself for the record when a different person speaks. Because we record everything by meeting minutes, and I've been watching her she's been doing good tracking you going back and forth. But here, you should pause and say, Mr. Chairman, this is, and then our clerk can follow and get in our record appropriately, so that if you ever in 10 years wanted to look back on our system, that you could see the words that you spoke here today recorded. So if you just identify yourself for the record so that the clerk can follow who's speaking. Thank you.
Yeah, this is a record that will live on forever or less. And
well, that's a given.
Ever or less.
Thank you.
Somewhere between those two.
And, Mr. Chairman, and as a representative of Kyrgyzstan, I would like to say that we use the special jars. We call them banka, which is like 1 liter. It's like 1/3 of gallon.
Yeah, we know a liter.
Yeah, I don't know exactly, but it's kind of similar.
And
glass. Yeah, and it's like each this jar. It costs special money, you know, and we like measure by that. Like, you know, one jar is like for example, 7 psalm. It's like our money psalm. So,
what I'm curious about is how you get the milk from where you buy it to your house where you boil it. Is it in a jar glass? Is it in metal?
Usually.
Is it in a cardboard jar? Is it, I don't know. Because I'm looking for the security of the milk as far as being contaminated, and then you're buying it from an unknown, you don't know what happened to it, so you want to get it home. When it's home, you have to boil it right away, or can you wait 7 days? And then if somebody drinks it without boiling it by mistake, this is what the important point is, if somebody drinks it without boiling it, do they get sick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would like to say that when the old people, like, you know, it have been like for a long time when the people drink that milk, and they kind of all experienced it about this issue that these jars is made by glass, and you just take them home, and immediately you have to boil it. You can keep maybe probably like 1 day or like 2 days in the refrigerator, but it gets, you know, bad and worse and worse. So it's like better way is just boil it right like immediately when you buy them, boil it and like, you know, when it's like cold, get cold, just take it and put it in the refrigerator and just use it like usual meat.
So you're worried about it?
Yeah, we're worried.
You would not drink raw milk quickly as soon as you bought it and say it's okay. You would not drink it. You would take it home, boil it, and then put it in the refrigerator and drink it within a week or so.
Yeah, thank you. Well, yeah, the people worried about it. I mean, but it's like usual thing. Many people does, like, you know, they have a lot of things to do. Like, you know, actually, many people have no, like, technical support, like, you know, like toasters or, like, you know, baking machine or something like that. In the villages, the people just bake on the outside, mm-hmm. the special things, you know. And, yeah, and about the milk, it will be, like, you know, just usual daily things. So they kind of not worried about it so much. So.
Well, I wanted you to take a message back when you go back home that what we do with our milk here is called pasteurization. Do you know Louis Pasteur and pasteurization? And in pasteurization, we heat the milk. We do not even heat it to boiling. It's less. If you heat it to 100 degrees centigrade, ours is like 80. And then we put it on the shelf to sell it. And that's enough. So I was curious, when you boil it at 100 for 6 to 8 minutes, that's a lot. That's a lot, much more than we do. So we're more cowboys here than you are there. We take higher risks. But that's what pasteurization is. That's heating it to a lower temperature than boiling for a shorter period of time, and it kills much of the bacteria, but not all of it. And the ones that are left are okay. They are okay. So the question we have here today, which is why you're testifying, is, partly, is raw milk safe to drink without heating it? Without heating it. Just to drink raw milk, you go, buy raw milk, bring it home, and drink it. Is that safe? That's the question we are dealing with. And now you have to go, Har.
Thank you, Chair. I experienced it a lot of times because I like cold raw milk. Which is probably not safety if you look as a doctor, but I'm safe. I mean, I'm okay. obviously.
Obviously.
Okay. I think that raw milk can be available as a raw meat, as a raw egg. I don't know, and it probably can have some test and go through some test and just be not recommended for children. I don't know. That's my point.
I'm going to ask, you buy raw fish at the same market? You buy fish when you shop for milk?
You can get fish everywhere, like in the market too.
Do you ever eat it without cooking? Never. Meat, you bring it home eat it without cooking?
I cook it.
You cook it. Because you want to or because you better? but you treat milk similarly then. You want to make sure that when you bring raw milk home, that it is going to be cooked, boiled, changed.
I know some people who eat meat, raw meat, because it mm-hmm. doesn't have cancerogen. Is it right?
Carcinogen, yeah.
Yeah, cancerogen, okay. So I think raw milk should be available.
Did you know you were going to have biology class here when you came? Miriam?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to say as well that, like raw milk without heating, it's not safe for the children and for the people at all. And I think it's supposed to, like, on the containers, it's supposed to say, like, you know, that you're supposed to boil it if you want to drink raw milk.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Special instructions, and everybody's supposed to know it. And I think it's, like, you know, but who would like to drink the raw meat? They will buy it. And they will drink it. It's their choice, you know. We just give them just choice, you know. Some people like it, some people not. Maybe it's, like, I don't know, maybe it's, like, not good, like, you know, if it will be almost heated and, like, you know, and boil it and stuff, it will be better for the people because it's, like, not take time as much because American people I see are, like, working hard and, like, you know, busy most of the time. And it will be maybe much better for the economy, you know. The people buy more or something. But I don't know how it's process supposed to go, but I would like to say that it can be say just, you know, instructions, you know, if it's not possible to heat it or something.
Okay. Well, let me ask you one more question. Is the container that you bring it home in, does it have a label that says, please boil?
No.
It doesn't.
No. No. As I said before, we all people are almost experienced it. My Kyrgyz people, they lived, like, for 4,000 centuries, and they were nomadic people, and they, like, lived in different places. And, you know, they used to it. Everybody used to it. And everybody knows, like, as a culture, as a tradition, so.
Representative Fairclough has a question.
Mr. Chairman, no, I just was going to thank Miriam and Gohar for coming to our state to learn about our government and about our customs and ways, and that we have an opportunity whenever someone brings a new culture to us, that we have an opportunity to learn. And I appreciate them coming out today and testifying. I told Gohar that I had a contrary opinion to hers, but that as a representative that, you know, it was necessary and required of me to listen to all sides of the issues, as well as the nursing community and doctors who come forward. And so I just wanted to thank them for coming out today. And I know that we have other people online that would like to testify on this. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Yeah.
You can go. Hold on. we'll do that. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Girls, I did want to tell you that when I was growing up, I grew up on a farm in Iowa, and for the first 20 years of my life, I drank raw milk. But my dad was very, very careful how he handled the milk when he was milking the cows. He'd wash them off real good and all that. But we drank, all of us in our family drank raw milk. And when it was in a bottle for a baby, then it was heated to the point where there was just a skim on the top. And then that the baby would get it. But as soon as the baby would start drinking out of a cup, then it was raw milk. And we all had raw milk. We didn't do anything with it. And so that was the total custom from when I grew up. And but I don't know what kind of sanitary conditions, you know, maybe the farm next to ours, they wouldn't have been able to do that. I have no idea. But we drank it, and it didn't hurt us at all.
This Representative Roses, he has a question.
Thank you. Actually, I just wanted to make a statement very similar to what Representative Wilson was. I drank many, many gallons of raw milk growing up when we'd visit my grandparents on the farm, and it took me a long time to get used to the flavor of raw milk. And then after we would drink raw milk and go back to the city, then it took me a while to get used to the pasteurized milk. So we got confused all the time. So it was always changing. And we were all quite healthy. My grandmother drank raw milk her entire life and lived to be 99 years old, so it evidently didn't hurt her much. But I wanted to thank you for coming as well. As a former teacher, it always does my heart good to see young people step forward and participate, and you represent yourselves very well, and certainly you speak very highly for the exchange program. And as I said on the floor, I hope our students present themselves as well in your country as you have in ours. So thank you.
I'd like to say thanks, all of you. It's really nice experience. It's really nice part of our experience being here, and it's really big honor. So thank you much, very much. Well, thank you for
and
your
when you
attention.
When you go back, you'll say, you know what we did? We talked to the government one-on-one. So that's got to be pretty interesting experience. Gohar?
In my turn, I would say thank you very much for this opportunity to express ourselves. It's a big honor for exchange student to talk to the representative of government. Thank you very much.
And you have to pose now, look and smile. Put your heads closer together like you like, just like you like each other. because he
thank you very much.
Wants to make sure that this picture, you know, we're not. Are there any more questions from the committee? Thank you very much for testifying. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
You can applaud. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's unusual to get applause in the committee, so it's fun to occasionally experience it. Is there anyone else online that wishes to testify? Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to testify? Kristen is here. Oh, I'm sorry. We have one gentleman in the back. Did you want to testify? Okay, you have to come forward, get into the microphone, give your name and affiliation. And my guess is, remember, you're talking to the clerk who's trying to write it down. Oh.
Hi, everybody. My name is Mohammed, and I'm from Saudi Arabia. And I'm a student at West High. And my sports, my interest in sports are soccer and... My interest in life is to be a doctor.
Of medicine?
Yeah. To be a doctor.
You want to put your last name on record?
Oh, Al-Shalan.
You're going to have to spell it.
A-L-S-H-A-A-L-A-N.
And your school?
West High.
West High. Okay. Go ahead and talk to us.
About our country?
About milk.
About milk. About
if
milk.
Your country has deals with milk in a special way that is different than you,
I
don't have
think
milk.
So.
You don't have cows.
Yeah, we do have cows actually.
do they give milk or?
They give milk, yeah.
And is when you get the milk from a cow, is it only goes through a factory or do people buy it one on one?
No, it goes to a factory. Well, it depends if you're talking about goat milk or cow milk, because goat milk is the other way around. They don't have factories for that. People just make them and sell. But the cow milk in our country, they make it in factories and sell. So it's pretty much the same as here.
Okay. Representative Roses.
Thank you. I wanted to, and I appreciate that. Could you talk a little bit about the goat milk? Do people just have their own goats and they have the milk themselves that they use, or do they can they buy milk in the like a farmer's market? You could buy goat milk there.
Well, it depends. Like there's stores, but like local stores, and they sell these kind of stuff: goat milk and goat yogurt.
Cheese.
Yeah, and it tastes good.
Another question.
When you acquire the goat milk and bring it home, do you drink it as raw milk or do you boil it or process it first?
Well, I never saw somebody boil it, so maybe it's boiled before, but yeah.
But you get it in a store.
Yeah.
And it's already in a container that's sealed.
Yeah. Okay. But,
further. Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony, and you're now part of history.
Yeah. I got stuck with government.
You talk to government. You got it. Anyone else in the audience? So with no one online, no one in the audience, we'll close public testimony. Sorry.
That's
what?
All right. That's all right.
I can undo things.
No, that's all right.
You're fine.
I just didn't know the difference between homogenized and pasteurized, but that's all right. I'll ask somebody later.
Even I know. So we now have it back before the committee. Is there some committee conversation we want to have, or are there amendments? Representative Fairclough?
Mr. Chairman, I know that we have amendments that are about to come forward, and I do appreciate the testimony, and as I disclosed in previous comments on a different day that we had public hearing on this issue, that I too had been on a farm only with my aunt during the summer and been privy to and had the opportunity of milking a variety of cows. Actually, I received for the committee's edification email this morning that you might not have received, for full disclosure, have been invited to come out to a dairy farm and milk cows till my heart's desire. But that said, in response to that wonderful invitation, I'm sure that we wouldn't get very much milk if it were up to me in milking those cows. That said, Mr. Chairman, what we heard today from the testimonies of the students and from doctors and nurses who have testified before is that there is an issue to do with the quality of health if there isn't something that is done in a processed manner for milk. Even the students from other countries that testified today said that in some instances that a boiling method was used to purify the product for human consumption, and that greater effort was taken for small babies. I, too, as Representative Wilson indicated, in Washington, when I experienced a dairy farm, we only made sure that the product was sanitized and it was in a steel bucket, and it went forward like that through a straining process. But to my knowledge, we never even boiled the milk either. So that said, right now, I'm hesitant to support mass sales without some kind of conditions or warnings, and I believe, Mr. Chairman, you spoke to that in that we may, if we choose to move this bill out of committee, want to consider some kind of a labeling process, mm-hmm. Some kind of warning inside of the United States. Again, for the benefit of the students that are listening today, there's quite a bit of litigation against other people, other companies, and against our own government in this democracy. And so when we make rules that and people become sick, they sometimes, after that illness, will come back and sue those that sell them the product because they believe that they have been disenfranchised in some way. And so that I will continue to listen if other members of the body have compelling testimony. I won't say I'm voting yes or no at this point, but I am very hesitant to change existing rules for allowing a product on the market when the FDA, which has, from my understanding, much more experience and knowledge on this issue. But I would, in deference to Representative Newman, who brought this to us, be happy to listen to how he would ensure the safety of the general public, how there could be a label warning, talking about how you might want to bring that product to market and how that might transpire. And I did hear and believe in what the students brought forward in saying that it is always nice in America to have options. And so that was a compelling argument that I heard today, that options are important. And I just wonder how we provide that option as a state in securing the health and welfare of both newborns in our community and those that move through life. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And for the committee, when the bill first came before us, I said, listen, if you have a willing buyer and a willing seller, I'm okay. As long as the buyer doesn't come back and say, you know, I got hurt by this, and you're the one that okayed it. You okayed it, as well as the rest of the legislature, and I'm going to sue. So I want to make sure the state is not liable for a product being sold between a willing buyer and a willing seller. Now comes the question of labeling. I think it is incumbent upon us to see that something on the container that says may contain bacteria or does contain bacteria may be harmful, boiling, some direction on the container to make it so that you can go ahead and drink it raw if you want to, but you do it at your own risk. You have choices to make, and you can certainly do that. And then I was troubled by the fiscal note. I don't want the state to once again take some responsibilities in money for something that we wanted between a willing buyer and a willing seller, and somehow have the state step in again. So in discussion with Representative Newman and with others, some amendments have come forward to address those questions, and I'd like to hear those amendments first, and then with regard to the importance of giving information to a public buyer what we want to do to show that this is an interesting product, do what you want, but here's the warning. We get warnings on everything else. We get warnings on sleep medicine that say may cause drowsiness. We get warnings on chemical pesticides that say, you know, may cause death, and that's the whole purpose of them, and yet we get these warnings. So we want to go on and at least deal with this, and my understanding is this amendment before me on deleting and inserting et cetera things, is that Representative Newman, is that your list of amendments? So please come forward and Representative Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wilson asked a question that I'd like to add voice to, and that was, could someone provide us an accurate definition of homogenize and pasteurize? That was Representative Wilson's question.
My understanding is homogenize is you beat it so that the cream no longer will separate out. If you just take milk, the cream comes to the top, but if you homogenize it, you've essentially beat it so the droplets are so tiny they remain in suspension. Does not affect the quality. You can take milk with the cream on the top and shake it and essentially accomplish it, but it kind of comes back again. But when you homogenize it, it doesn't.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my question is, so you do that without any heat?
Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
It's more about how to get the cream dispersed in the milk than anything else. Number two was pasteurization. That is where we heat it to a certain temperature for a brief period of time, and it kills much of the bacteria, but not all of it, which is why it spoils, even though it's in a sealed container. Now, in Europe, they sell sterile milk. You can put that thing on the shelf until 2012, and it's still good. But we don't do that here, except in some instances. I think hunters very often like to take sterile milk out because there's no refrigeration. You can put it on a shelf in a cabin, and it's still milk, and cool it down, and we just don't see that in on the grocery shelves, but it's perfectly doable. Pasteurization simply heats it to a lesser temperature, and I'm not sure what it is, 157 degrees or 161 Fahrenheit. For how long?
It's one.
Go ahead, yell it out.
I'm sorry, it's 145 to 30 minutes.
Okay.
If you have a batch pasteurization, if you're at high temperature pasteurization, is 184, it's about 185, I guess,
okay.
For 10 seconds.
Okay, and that's coming from a milk farmer. Who's curious about what we're doing here and standing in the doorway and is
Mr. Chairman,
we could put him on the record, but
for the record, could we have his name?
Why don't you come forward and why don't you come up to the microphone and just put that on the record of what you had, what pasteurization A and pasteurization B, but start with your name and your affiliation.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, my name is Pete Fallon. I'm staff for Representative John Harris. Excuse me. And I'm a lifelong dairy farmer. I milk cows in Minnesota. I grew up on fresh raw milk. I'll show you. Good for muscles, good for bones. A couple of things. What I had just mentioned, and I apologize for shouting out, but it, batch pasteurization, which is you put it into a container. It's stirred. It has culinary steam on top, and it's pasteurized. You keep it at 145 degrees for 30 minutes. Then there's high temperature pasteurization, which it goes through a quick process at a higher temperature. I believe it's about 183 or so for 10 seconds. A couple of issues. I wanted to kind of turn this table over for a second, if I may.
Go ahead.
You know, it really is all about choice. And if an individual chooses to drink raw milk, I think that's a personal choice. And I want to point out a couple of things. In the milk that you buy on the shelf, there's a very good chance that that milk contains BST, which is a growth hormone that is injected to commercial dairy cows. You don't have a choice whether or not that milk you purchase has that hormone in it or not. It's there, it's legal. In the United States, it's legal, I should say. And so you can inject these cows with BST and bump up their milk production, which is very hard on cattle. It shortens their life and so on. But there's 18 countries.
I have to ask you a question here.
Yes.
BSE, bovine spongiform encephalopathy. I think that's mad cow disease.
No, BS, this is a growth hormone, BST. It's RBST, recumbent T. bovine, and
oh,
I can't
T?
Pronounce.
Oh, it's a T.
T, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Excuse
my
me.
Mistake, then.
And so, but there are 18 countries that have outlawed that, including Canada, for using BST to encourage milk production. There's, when we talk about homogenization, what happens is it's high-pressure homogenization. It goes through a machine that pressurizes milk and basically breaks down the fat and attaches the fat to the protein. And so that way the fat doesn't separate from the milk. The problem with that is now the fat globules are so small and it's attached to the protein that now you absorb them all. The reverse of that is in raw milk you have some options. You can skim it. You can take the fat and make butter out of it, make sour cream, whatever you choose, and or drink it whole. And when you drink it whole, a percentage of that fat passes through your body because it's so large, the fat globules are so large, you don't absorb them all. Pasteurization, yeah, it kills bacteria. It doesn't kill all bacteria. Anybody in the business knows that there's bacteria, for instance, certain strains of cheese bacteria, it's mesophilic bacteria. It survives in 180 degrees. There are bacteria it doesn't kill. And on the reverse of that, there are cold bacteria that can be introduced after pasteurization and go into the bottles and it will grow in the milk. Now, it's an interesting thing how we think about this sour milk being bad for you. It's just really not true. Because the process that takes place when they make cottage cheese, when they make kefir, when they make yogurt, is all a form of sour milk. Now what happens in the process is the bacteria that is natural, if we don't kill it by pasteurizing it, the bacteria that's in that milk, when it starts to curdle the milk, creates lactic acid. And the result is lactic acid kills all the bad bacteria. That's why you can eat cottage cheese. I make it at my house all the time. Take milk, set it on the shelf. I'm not a shelf, on the back of the stove at 70 degrees, and it makes cottage cheese. And all it is sour milk. Now, in where I come from, Delta Junction, we have a wonderful population of Ukrainians. And they're very self-sufficient people. And a lot of them have cows, and a lot of them are good friends of mine. They're in the industry and so on. Some of the old believers that we refer to, they don't refrigerate their milk. They don't want it refrigerated. They'll take the milk from the cow, put it in a bottle, and set it on the shelf for a week until it clabbers. And then they drink it. And they say it's the best thing in the world for your stomach health. And so there's two sides to this coin. It's really about choice. If a person chooses to buy raw milk, and a person that sells it chooses to sell it to them, so be it. It's your choice. If you have a person-to-person relationship, they can come and they can see the cows, they can see how you manage them, and if they don't like the way you manage your cows, don't buy their milk. Or if you choose, boil the milk. It's all about choice. And so, Representative Newman, do you want to talk to the your amendment?
For a guy standing in the doorway, you have nothing to say. There's quite a lot of testimony.
I did have a question for Pete.
Representative Roses.
Thank you, Pete. And I appreciate you showed us your muscles you got from the raw milk, but does it make your hair fall out?
It was probably the BST from drinking fresh milk, the growth hormone.
Because you notice that some of mine fell out, and I only drank it part-time. I appreciate the fact that I didn't drink more than I did.
The women just don't drink milk. Okay, we're dead serious about this. And that's fine about homogenization. And pasteurization, and the fact you mentioned two kinds of pasteurization, bulk and less than bulk. One was 145 degrees, one was higher. The whole point being we do treat the milk. Now, here's the key point here. Should there be a warning, and should we require it? Or should we just say, pass this bill out, somebody wants to buy raw milk, I don't care. Or should we care?
Mr. Chairman?
That's the question.
I think that disclosure is important in this process. And so I think that a person who sells raw milk should have to disclose that this, some label, whatever it is, this milk is fresh, unpasteurized milk and may cause health concerns, or some language.
Okay.
You know, because now you have disclosure. It's obvious now that you had an agreement between two people who made choices. And so I think that for the sake of protecting both parties, disclosure should be part of the... Okay.
And now as a milk farmer, did you expect the state to regulate the sale of raw milk to a buyer, an individual buyer, not where you know it's going to get pasteurized, but where you know it's not going to get pasteurized? Should the state be there to regulate it somehow?
I don't believe so. I don't, for one thing, I don't think it's possible to do. Right. I mean, you've got people, excuse me, Mr. Chairman. you know, there are so many single cow and single goat, you know, situations around the state. I don't know how it could be regulated. You know, DEC's budget's just not big enough to go around and to try to find and contact all these people who choose to have one cow and have a neighbor that they sell it to. End of story. I just don't know how it can be regulated.
Thank you. Other questions? Thank you very much. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know where to start here. Mr. Chair, after the meeting, by the way, Mr. Chair, I'm Representative Mark Newman, District 15. Mr. Chair, after last week's meeting, I sat down with the Director for the Environmental Conservation, Ms. Kristen Ryan, and asked her, Kristen, what do we need to do to this bill to satisfy you, to help you along? And they looked at it, had their legal people look at it, and came up with Amendment A.4. And I can explain those if you'd like.
And that's on version A, which is the only version we have. Go ahead and explain the amendment, and we'll need somebody on the committee to offer it, but go ahead and explain it. Well, let me just back up. I want to have somebody offer the amendment. Representative Roses?
Thank you. I would like to move amendment number 1, which is A.4.
And I'll object. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for clarification, it was discussed whether we should have raw milk in the sale of those raw milk products in the title. And so that's what we did. It's just a clarification issue where on line 1, page 1, it deletes raw milk and raw milk products and inserts milk, milk products, raw milk, and raw milk products, because that talks to the different sections of the bill, even though the bill, the new section that was added is section 2, but that talks completely of the bill in the title. So that was, that thought went there. And on page 2, line 9, after the word selling, insert the word pasteurized to further clarify the fact that we're talking about pasteurized milk and unpasteurized milk. Two different issues.
2, line 9. Hold on one second, please.
Page 2, following line, insert pasteurized. So it says
following the word selling. And
right.
I have version A, and
right.
I don't see the word selling.
Line 9?
It's page 2.
The first word in
the first
sentence.
Word selling.
Oh, the first word. That's why I didn't say it. Thank you.
So it would read, standards of sanitization for dairies offering to the public or selling pasteurized milk or milk products. And then also on page 2, line 29, there was some concerns with the committee that there may not be a direct connection between a customer and somebody actually selling the milk. And so what we did is we deleted the words on line 29 that say, or to a restaurant, grocery store, or similar establishment, so that the sentence reads, a person may sell a raw milk product to a final consumer if the principal display panel. And that gives you the ability to go look at the farms, as we've discussed, and it's, you know, it's directly, so that there's not a middleman per se, so that you have firsthand experience to see what's going on, so that it's not a grocery store, so that if there's any liability issues, you know right where to go. And that was part of that issue. Or a concern of the committee, and we wanted to make sure that we were very clear on that.
And I have a question for you. How do you see that? It says on the display panel, the principal display panel. You mean on a carton, or can it be a principal display panel on the wall, or?
If I may, I'll get to that. That's not part of the amendment, but I will go to that.
Thank you,
Chair. And if I continue on with the amendment, and then I'll explain the justification error is in a whole. On page 3, line 1, delete the word "the states" and insert "any." And this, again, was to assist the Department of Environmental Conservation. This is working with them and their legal people to make sure that we had the correct language in there, because we do want to have a correct label, Mr. Chair. And also on page, and insert the word "any." Did I mention that? Remove the words "these states" and put "any," insert "any." And also on page 3, line 1, following "sale of," insert "raw." So it would read, "complies with
any
requirements of the sale of raw milk that do not conflict with this section." And in Representatives Fairclough's concern about a label, this would allow the Department of Environmental Conservation to approve the label that goes on any milk product that is sold as a raw milk product, so that the department has oversight on that, so that they, if there's any particular warnings or categories or any issues that they have, this very clearly says that a person may sell a raw milk product to a final consumer if the display panel on the raw milk product prominently states that the raw milk product is not pasteurized and may cause health concerns, and if the person complies with any requirements for the sale of raw milk that do not conflict with this section.
Representative Wilson.
So we tried to do that.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you. I would like to move amendment number 1 for discussion.
It's already moved. It was my objection. That's why we have this.
We have
an objection before us.
Okay.
Cool down.
Representative Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Newman, can you explain to me why we're changing the title on the bill now to include milk? So as it leaves the committee, if we incorporate the amendment, it seems to open up more parts of the law, not less.
Through the Chair, Representative Fairclough, this was upon recommendation of the legal advice that I had received from staff, from the director of the Department of Environmental Conservation. She can maybe speak to that a little bit more clearly as to why they did that when we get to that, but it's my belief that to make sure that we have a very clear definition, or maybe staff's got that, looks like.
Mr. Shattuck, would you like to make a comment?
Mr. Chair, my name is Rex Shattuck, staff to Representative Mark Newman. Legal counsel, our legal staff across the road, the drafter of the bill, suggested that we put raw milk, or change it from raw milk and raw milk products, because we had done some work in the existing statute to talk about pasteurized milk. So she felt it was appropriate to show that in the title by adding milk, milk products, raw milk products, because we did make some changes in that statute. And she wanted to identify that. And her way to do that was to include in the title milk, milk products, raw milk products, to delineate the fact that we actually worked on
kind of a technical fix.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Roses.
Thank you. I wanted to speak to the portion of your amendment on page 3, line 1, where you took out the state's requirements and put in any requirements. Do we want it to say any, or do we want it to say all? Because let's say there are 5 requirements and you comply with 1, then you don't care about the other 4. And all would be all of the requirements. Any would be 1 or more. And I guess I'm just want to make sure we have the right wording.
Mr. Chair, to the Chair, Representative Roses, our discussion centered around any I would suspect that if we asked them about all, they would probably not have a problem with that.
Mr. Chair.
And what if it said just the state's requirements instead of any or all or just?
Maybe federal that we're worried about.
To the Representative Gatto, we're talking specifically about state.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. During the discussion, I did a motion to Ms. Ryan, and she said that agreed that with your comment that with all requirements for the sale of milk, and I think that we're kind of just mixing words here otherwise. Certainly it would require all requirements for the sale of milk that are required by the Department of Conservation. Any issues that they feel with that would be put on the label.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just trying to figure out why we're cutting out the state's requirements, because apparently that this would now be if there's a raw milk society or something and they have requirements for labeling, that all farmers would have to follow those requirements. Is that the object of taking out the words the state's requirements, and now it's going to be in a co-op or association's requirements that are going to be I'm unsure of what we're any or all, and whether we are attempting to or actually coming to a provision of having a co-op decide the requirements or an individual farmer or whoever, instead of the state having the responsibility for deciding what those requirements will be.
Yeah. And I'm going to ask Representative Newman, because there are five specific amendments here, we can, if we move them all as amendment number one, then if I have an objection to part D of amendment number one and vote no, then the entire amendment would fail. So we may want to treat these as amendments 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 later. But for now, we're in the discussion of all the parts. But I wanted to make sure that you recognize that if we deal with any one part that is objected to, then that's simply going to raise enough negative thought about it that it might be defeated.
Sure.
Representative Roses.
Since I move the amendment, if we're through with the discussion on this amendment, I would move that we divide this into five amendments, and I would so state each amendment.
Okay. What we can do is withdraw amendment number one, and then offer amendments 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
I will do that.
Okay, there's an offer to delete amendment one. Withdraw amendment one. Is there an objection? Seeing and hearing no objection, amendment number one is withdrawn. Representative Roses.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will make this conceptual in the event that we need to make some modifications in the language, but I would move amendment number two, which would be amend page one, line one, and it would delete the words raw milk and raw milk products and insert milk products, raw milk, and raw milk products.
And that's the title amendment. Is there an objection to the title amendment? Seeing and hearing none, amendment number one, the title amendment is adopted. Representative Seaton?
That was amendment number two.
I'm sorry, Representative. Sorry. Amendment number two is adopted. Representative Roses.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment number three.
Okay, is there an objection to amendment number three?
Amendment number three would be page two, line nine, following the word selling, would insert pasteurized.
Okay, is there an objection?
I object for
Representative Faircloth.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just trying to read 1720.030, which is referred to on line seven. And what that has to do with is the hormone labeling for milk and milk products. And one of our testifiers today, Pete, I believe, was talking about BST and BGH. And And I'm just trying to see how this fits in, so I'm just holding right now so I can read it.
Let's just take a short recess. So let's go off the air for a brief recess. Tina Otto, are you online, Department of Law?
I am online, Chairman.
Okay, Representative Fairclough has a question, and we're going to ask you to help out here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tina, I'm looking at 17, Alaska State Statute 1720.005, the powers and duties of the commissioner. And under that, Representative Newman is proposing to amend on our bill in number 4, labeling subject to AS 17.20013 and 4, under the previous title that I said, the insertion of pasteurized prior to milk or milk products to at least the minimum of current recommendations of the United States Public Health Service Pasteurization Milk Ordinance. And so my question is, while this is allowing raw milk for sale to an individual and that we're clarifying language, does it affect in a negative way any of those importers of milk or those that are producing milk inside of the state of Alaska, any new restrictions because of the insertion of that word?
Through the chair, I did speak with the attorney who was the lead attorney on this bill, and she had recommended inserting pasteurized, and in her opinion, it sort of clarified what we were talking about in that sub part 4, that it just made it clearer and easier to read, and that it was clear we were talking about pasteurized milk. I believe there was probably more to your question. So if you wouldn't mind maybe rephrasing what else I could answer and address on that.
Through the chair, Mr. Chairman, Tina, as I understand it, when we were off the record, what I was told that the insertion would do is basically all milk in the state of Alaska right now requires pasteurization. And by inserting the word pasteurization, it actually provides the exclusion in the new chapter that is being written to allow for the sale of raw milk. I need to clarify if that is correct or if there's a negative consequence on current producers that would comply with pasteurization.
Through the chair, that would be correct. So what it is it's saying subsection 4 is applying to pasteurized milk. So in essence, it creates an exception for raw milk. And that was the intention. And I believe that is what is accomplished. So it is putting a restriction on something and labeling of pasteurized milk and sort of inferred is the exception being raw milk. So it should not, that was the intention. I believe that's accomplished by this amendment.
This Representative Gatto, is it essential that we even have Section 4 in there?
Labeling and grading for dairy offering to the public or selling. Through the chair, I guess I would want to think about it. I see what your point is that this is already something that is that the DEC has the authority to do. So are we in essence sort of reiterating an authority that they already have? And quite honestly, I think I would have to take a moment to really think about that.
While you're thinking about it, go ahead and take a few moments, and we're going to listen to Kristen. Go ahead.
Thank you. For the chair, for the record, my name is Kristen Ryan. I'm the director for the Division of Environmental Health in DEC. And thanks, Tina, for stepping in last minute. Our attorney's on vacation that handles this for us. Representative Gatto, Mr. Chairman, we use that section in the statute to regulate pasteurized milk. That is basically the adoption of the federal pasteurized milk ordinance. So it is, if you looked at our milk regulations, they're about 5 pages long because we inherently just adopt the federal regulations, which are much more in depth. So I guess I would make a pitch that we continue to have the ability to do that so that we don't have to do it in regulation.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. I am trying to figure out the putting pasteurized milk in here. Does that, it says sales to the public or offering to the public or selling pasteurized milk. Does that in any way impinge or change the labeling of or the allowance of the 60-day cheese ordinance, or does that in any way affect the sale of milk to a dairy versus from a farm?
Representative, through the chair, the adoption of the PMNO allows for those variances. The 60-day aging of cheese is considered an alternative in the PMNO to pasteurization, so I don't believe it would limit us, but it's a good question, and I will double-check that. But I believe it's acceptable as long as it references the PMNO.
Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw my objection.
Tina Otto, did you have enough time to look into that and form an opinion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I believe that it would be important to enter. Certainly, we're keeping subsection 4, and with the amendment of pasteurized, it does seem to make the most sense to insert pasteurized milk, and then making it clear that the exception is that raw milk wouldn't fall under that. And I think the easiest way to do that is to enter pasteurized milk, and I think that would be, it's not sort of duplicating efforts, I guess. So I believe that it would make the most sense to enter that.
So we're simply going to add the word pasteurized, leave Section 4 with the addition of the word pasteurized, and you feel, as a Department of Law representative, that that's just the way it ought to be?
Mr. Chair, yes, okay. Yes, I do.
So now you're to blame, you know that.
Yeah, I know. Suddenly I've, yes, I understand that. No, I think that's good, though.
Thank you. So Representative Fairclough has removed her objection to Amendment Number 3 offered by Representative Roses. Is there another objection? Seeing and hearing none, Amendment Number 3 is adopted. We'll now move on to, and we'll call it Amendment Number 4, Representative Roses.
Thank you. I'd move Amendment Number 4, which deals with page 2, line 29, where we are deleting the words, or to a restaurant, grocery store, or similar establishment.
Is there an objection to Amendment Number 4? And I'm glad to see there aren't.
Object.
Representative Kawasaki.
I wanted to know, I don't know who I'm asking, but just throwing it out there, if the final consumer is a term of art or if it's legal definition.
Good point. Tina, Representative Kawasaki is asking a little bit about the word final consumer.
Yeah, through the chair. I just really apologize. I don't usually work with DEC's statutes. I don't know offhand if it is defined in there. But I do believe final consumer, whether or not it's defined, I think that there is enough of an understanding of what would be intended there, meaning final consumer being sold to whoever it is who is going to consume the product. So I don't know if it's really defined, but I think that is enough of a sort of commonly understood term that it could stand on its own.
And what this is saying is that this milk can travel through various agencies without any labeling until the final agency, which is then going to sell it to the final consumer, and then labeling is required. No.
That's
not right. Sorry.
Not the labeling.
It's the opposite.
We're down on sales.
And through the chair, I actually do work with the dairy industry, and I don't believe that this would put a restriction on a dairy producer selling raw milk to a processor, because the processor is not the final consumer. So, that transaction always has occurred and will continue to occur, and then it would be, it's only if it's getting sold to somebody who's actually going to consume it as a raw milk product.
Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is for DEC on how they would be able to regulate final consumer consumption. Final use.
Representative Kawasaki, through the chair, our fiscal notes sort of speak to our guess as to how we would do this. We looked at other states that have raw milk programs, and what they're doing is requiring testing before the product is sold. I think, as I stated in your last hearing on this, we have not seen those to be entirely successful, but we at least feel it's a minimum we could do. It's similar to what we do with other risky products like shellfish. We require testing beforehand. Our current regulations right now say that have a labeling mandate for raw milk. It says you cannot sell raw milk off the farm unless it is labeled unfit for human consumption and has been denatured. And by denatured, that means discolored because of our concerns. So obviously, you could buy raw milk and drink it right now if you wanted, but we didn't want the jug in the refrigerator that looks like any other milk jug to be confusing to possibly somebody who didn't read, and pink milk or blue milk would obviously get their attention and make them think twice. So that's sort of what our current regulations require.
Kristen, I'm going to say the word denatured, I don't believe, means discolored. I think it means makes unfit for consumption. Denatured alcohol is poison, not drinkable. And I don't believe maybe discolored is useful there, but I just never recall discoloring being used in that way. Representative Wilson?
Well, I guess my concern here is if it, what is the process to make it colored? And if that would mean putting some kind of dye in it or something, how do you get that?
A representative through the chair. It's specifically outlined in the regulations. I was just looking to see if I had a copy with me. The dyes that you can use, they're actually very specific in what colors they are. And it's considered, since we don't believe the milk should be consumed, to make it unconsumable. But technically, it doesn't change the quality of the milk because when those regs were drafted, the assumption was that the milk was being consumed by animals. So obviously you don't want to make the milk unconsumable technically, but that was the intent of calling
so
it.
So by putting a coloring agent in it, it's the animals are not going to care, but the consumer is not going to buy green milk or red milk or something like that.
Correct.
New Representative Seaton?
Mr. Chairman, if the question is of people having the opportunity to buy raw milk and do with it what they want, then currently they have that option because raw milk is available in the state of Alaska. It's just colored, and so that you won't have dairies going out and advertising and purporting great health benefits to raw milk and having that consumed by children or others because of the purported health benefits, and then having contamination by antibiotic bacteria or resistant bacteria, which has been the big problem before. But apparently, with our regs right now, you can buy raw milk. It's just going to have a dye in it that's going to have it a color other than white.
Representative Wilson, a consumer and a farmer. And
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Crystal, so what color is it going to be?
Depends on the season.
And what kind of dye are we going to, you know, I'm serious because we all know that there are some dyes that aren't good for us, and we don't really know how damaging other dyes could be. So I want to know.
A representative through the chair, actually, I do have a copy of that specific section in the regulations, and I believe it was in our original packet to you. This is what it looks like, and this is the exact quote from the regulations. So it's labeled unfit for human consumption. This is not intended to be consumed by humans. And then it also has to be decharacterized with an approved denaturant. And the approved denaturants are finely powdered charcoal, or FD&C blue number one, blue number two, or ultramarine blue, or FD&C green, red, or red, two varieties of red. So it's very specific which colorings, food colorings you can use. And all of those are are not harmful for human consumption. Again, the intent is not to change the milk to make it unconsumable, because we understand animals will be consuming it, but to discolor it. So all of those colorings are safe for humans. I don't believe powdered charcoal necessarily would be, but I'd have to check on that.
Did it turn it black?
I don't know.
Great. What about St. Patrick's Day when we want to sell green milk? Going to be illegal, huh?
No, green was on there.
Green was on there.
Green is on there. It just has to be labeled for animal food, not for human consumption as well.
Representative Wilson.
I guess I'm confused, because I don't know if we've gotten off the track.
We have.
Okay.
Way off.
Yeah, all right. Okay. So that, well, then I'm not concerned. I just want to make sure that we're not doing this to the raw milk that people are going to be drinking.
Representative, no. I just was explaining what the current regulations require. And what this bill would do would be allow the sale of raw milk without those stipulations. We would have to change those in the current regulation. But what we would do is impose a testing program similar to what we're doing for milk, which we believe is justified because the product is riskier. So we would want at least the same testing we do for pasteurized milk. And that's what our fiscal note is based on, required testing, certification of the farm, making sure they're practicing sanitation.
And just for note, we have before us amendment number 4, which is simply to delete or to a restaurant, grocery store, a similar establishment. And the testimony should be either in support or opposed to the amendment. Representative Kawasaki was first.
On the amendment, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kristen, thanks a lot. So your fiscal note reflects the standardization for all users. But I guess my question is for the group. How would you know that how would you know who the final user was? Would that be incumbent upon the seller to do that, and for you to just assume that they're going to do the right thing? And like, if I wanted to buy, I don't know, thousands of gallons of milk, and I said I'm going to drink all this in the next week, mm-hmm. would that just be under the assumption that, okay, the person's a willing single final consumer buyer? I guess there's no way to police that.
Representative through the chair, I'm not sure through our existing inspection permitting paradigms how we would. Yeah, I guess we could put in regulation a restriction on the quantity you could purchase. I can imagine us doing something like that if that was there was a potential for that occurring, or if we saw it happening. But no, this does not. This legislation does not speak to that.
Okay. Get back to the amendment. More questions on the amendment itself. Whose objection was it? Representative Faircloth. Question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The objection was Mr. Kawasaki. I wanted to speak in favor of the amendment. The amendment strikes out and reduces down the breadth of who could be sold to, and it has been stated by the sponsor that a willing buyer and a willing seller, and that certainly from my perspective to what the students we heard from today and those who testified before were trying to get to is a willing buyer and willing seller. I too have a question on the previous line, though. It seems like you could have a contractor, so a person sells raw milk. That's not the dairy farm, which, so I'm not sure we want to be that inclusive, but specific to this amendment, Mr. Chairman, I support that.
Representative Kawasaki?
Just my only objection was I don't know what final consumer actually means, and if a final consumer is an actual person or a parent of a kid or a family that's going to use the milk, then I would agree. But if final consumer isn't really defined, it could be
final consumer could be a farmer that decides to throw it on the ground. It would be the final consumer. A final consumer could be a child of a mother. The mother's not the final consumer. Mm-hmm. It goes back to the child. The consumer of the product is the final consumer.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Edgman.
I'm going to support the amendment, too. And that's why it says two thresholds are if the principal display panel prominently states it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's
sure.
Wanted to make it fairly obvious.
And that's what we've been after. So, Representative Kawasaki, I'll take the vote. If
I'll withdraw my amendment.
The amendment is withdrawn. Is there an additional? The objection is withdrawn. Is there another objection? Seeing and hearing none, amendment number 4 is adopted. Representative Roses.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move amendment number 5, which addresses page 3, line 1, where it deletes the words the states and inserts any.
I object.
There is an objection. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe the intent is here to replace the word the and take off states and just have with any state requirements for the sale. And so if that would be considered a friendly amendment, I would make that amendment.
Object.
Representative Wilson.
I think that if there's any of the requirements, it's like any and all.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so that's what this is talking about. So I think it's perfectly all right the way it is, because any of the requirements you have to do.
And we're not going to be able to get out of federal requirements, so we're going to meet those anyway.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I would need a legal opinion on this, but I think by removing the word state, federal requirements require pasteurization. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe if you leave states out of it, then all of a sudden it's all pasteurized milk.
Tina, you're becoming our expert.
Yes, sir, the chair. That is correct, that federal requirements do require pasteurization. The federal requirements don't apply to intrastate commerce, meaning as long as it's solely done within the state of Alaska, then the federal regulations don't apply. And I don't know, I have no opinion on the difference between any or all. I think whatever certainly you would like to do. And I don't know if the intention was, in removing the state, if the intention was that it would have to comply with all federal and state requirements, but that would apply to raw milk. But in this case, Kristen is correct. It's not allowed under federal law.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Roses, then Representative Wilson.
Thank you. Without any objection, I would accept a friendly amendment.
And I'll remove my objection for the amendment. But I do want to say that taking out states is fine, because it is in the next section, or in B, it says this section does not apply to a sale that is governed by federal law. So that's taken care of.
Now, Kristen, do you know, does any federal statute apply on this, or are we only talking about the ones we are thinking are in front of us?
Mr. Chairman, by clarifying, I think, that first, not the first amendment, the second amendment that you have passed, that this, the PMNO only applies to pasteurized milk, I think you have separated the two now. So there's pasteurized milk that will be sold in the state that will have to comply with the federal pasteurized milk ordinance, and now you're making a second separate area of milk in the state that will be raw milk that won't apply. Federal laws will not apply. And as Tina has said already, you can't sell raw milk out of the state, but FDA is silent. They give recommendations, but they don't make requirements on what states do internally.
And we haven't officially amended the amendment, but we may. Representative Seaton.
Well, thank you. I'm just trying to follow up on the line that Ms. Ryan just brought up. If we've done that, and so that the federal requirements only relate now to pasteurized milk, does that mean that this section now would apply to sales to someone like a, not a nursing home particularly, but a preschool? Because that would be the final consumer. And have we separated it out now that we have opened a hole that we didn't intend to open?
Representative Seaton, through the chair, I I have some concerns with a person on line 28, page 2, as Representative Fairclough mentioned, that could be anybody. It doesn't say it's a farmer. It can be second. Mm-hmm. So it's not restricting who the initial seller is at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's only restricting the final consumer. So you need to kind of, I would imagine, if that's your intent, you need to close both ends of the...
Follow up,
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. And my question is on the other end, on your statement that we've changed back here so that the public health service pasteurized milk stuff only, or the federal requirements only apply pasteurized milk. So do we now have a situation in which the final consumer could be a daycare provider instead of being the legal guardian of a child or a person consuming the milk themselves?
Representative through the chair, I think there's it's a difficult question, and maybe Tina can help me answer it, because I think there's wiggle room there. I think that there may, without final consumer defined.
Hold on a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, absolutely.
We'll just finish. Want to make sure we just finish the statement before, because I was going to bring you right back again, but just hang tight. Were you finished?
Yes, without final consumer defined, I shall have to answer to this, I think, better than me.
And
I'm
so,
not sure.
So, Tina, you understand the dilemma?
I do. I can't say that scenario would not, you know, that wouldn't be allowed under this statute. Certainly, the department is going to pass regulations, and they can further define consumer and further place some limitations in through their regulatory process on how this program is going to operate. But I, in looking at line 28 and 29 of the second page, I can't say that scenario is necessarily precluded by this language.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. the way I look at this on 28 and 29, a person, that's the seller. We are restricting the seller.
Mm-hmm.
And we were restricting the seller to say if he's going to sell raw milk to somebody, he has to make sure that he prominently states that it is raw milk and whatever other requirements that DEC or whoever it is that they have put on it. And it doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter, but I mean, we're talking about the final consumer, so whether it's a mother that's buying it to give to her child,
right,
or whether it's another farmer or another, maybe it's anybody that just, maybe they have a sick child and the doctor says that raw milk is good for them, who knows. But whatever it is, we're not putting anything on the final consumer, we're just putting it on the person that's selling the milk.
Correct. And when we say a person, we want to make sure we're not saying the producer and the final consumer, because there might be 18 layers in between.
Well,
we just want to say, here's the end user. The person giving it to the end user has the responsibility. I think that's important. I believe it says that when we say a person.
I think it was,
we don't,
defined up here for the
And Representative Roses.
I wondered if I may go back to the amendment that we have before us. And what we were discussing was whether or not to accept Representative Seaton's amendment as a friendly amendment. And I said, without objection, I would accept it. I would like to speak to that. The reason I have no problem with it saying any state requirements is because if we pass this bill and it happens to make it all the way through the body and get signed by the governor, I don't want this to state that somehow we're trying to deal with a municipality that may come in and put some kind of a regulation or a requirement on it. So I think it ought to be clear that we're talking about state requirements, because that's all that we have the right to deal with. And so that's why I would accept his amendment as a friendly amendment.
Okay. Representative Seaton, would you state your amendment to
the amendment? To the amendment is to where it says delete, take out the word the, and the apostrophe S. So, oops, wait a minute. I wanted to leave that. Yeah, I wanted to take those out. So what we're going to do is it's going to read complies with any state requirements is the way it's going to read.
All right. So the amendment to the amendment is to modify it to read any state requirements. And Representative Roses has no objection. Representative Edgman?
Well, I'm just sitting here thinking that in deference to Representative Roses' comments about the future of a municipality or somebody else, why we wouldn't just leave it open any requirements, because right now it means state, quote-unquote. Or if we wanted to modify it, we could certainly put state and local. But if we keep it any, it basically says state or local at this point. So it's a wider net if we keep any versus narrowing it down to state, looking into the future, because we don't know if a municipality might come up with
something. And what you're saying is simply delete the word the states and simply say complies with requirements for the sale of.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, as the amendment suggests.
Essentially, you really don't need the word the states in there.
Mr. Chair.
Or any.
Let me go Representative Roses first and then Representative Seaton.
Thank you. The reason I stated it the way I did is because if it said any state or local requirements, what happens if the farmer that I decide to buy my goat's milk from is in Wasilla, but I'm in Anchorage, and Anchorage has a restriction, but Wasilla doesn't? That's why I don't want to get into the local, because then we're talking about jurisdictional. You're talking about the local in which I live or the local in which I consume. That's why I think we're dealing with state law. We ought to stick to state law and let somebody else worry about the local. That's why I have no problem with any state's requirements.
That's the fireworks issue.
Perfect example. And some, Mr. Chair, may think that this is a fireworks issue.
It's going to be extinguished by all the liquid in the milk here. Representative Seaton, did you want to make a comment? And then we'll have to vote on the amendment to the amendment.
Just that the other way we're I agree with Representative Roses on that, but also if we take out the state's requirements, we're saying any requirements, and those could be interpreted as cooperative, if you have a milk cooperative requirement or some other requirement that we are then putting ourselves in the position to enforce, and I don't think that we know or wish to get involved at that detail.
So the amendment was offered by Representative Seaton, and I don't recall seeing an objection to it. Is there an objection to the amendment to the amendment? Seeing and hearing none, the amendment to the amendment is adopted. We now have before us the amendment number 5. Is there an objection to amendment number 5? Seeing and hearing none, amendment number 5 is adopted. We now go to amendment number 6. Representative Roses.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move amendment number 6, which would be to the same page and the same line we've just been talking about for the last 20 minutes. That would be page 3, line 1, following the words sale of, insert the word raw. So it would be the sale of raw milk.
Is there an objection to amendment number 6 to insert the word raw? Seeing and hearing none, amendment number 6 is adopted. That then brings us to Representative Seaton has some amendments.
Mr. Chairman, I have one amendment that's labeled A.1.
Okay, we have amendment A.1. We've dispensed with A.4. We have before us now A.1, which has a date of 3608.
I believe that would be amendment number 7, Mr. Chairman.
That would be amendment number 7, correct.
I object.
Oh, we have. Did you offer it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and there is an objection, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to talk to maybe Pete on this. I don't know. I would like to get some information and to know. I'm sure there's probably cows that are not treated with antibiotics. But if they buy any of their feed, a lot of the feed has it in it automatically nowadays. So I would just kind of like to know, learn a little bit about this to find out what's possible and what isn't. I know if you raise your own grain and that's what you're feeding to your cows, then you know what goes into them. But that's the only way that you can be sure, I think, that. So I would like to just hear some information.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Pete Feldman, staff representative John Harris. Big issue. Number one, there are antibiotic-resistant strains of bacteria all around us, not only potentially in milk, but in meat, in spinach, in salad, in just about everything we do. Any antibiotics that lactating cows are treated with are specifically labeled for lactating cows. You go to a veterinarian and you get a prescription for that medication. And then all of those medications also that are labeled for lactating cows have a withdrawal time. So it specifically tells you how long you have to discard the milk before the antibiotic will be out of the milk. Generally, in lactating cattle feed, there's no antibiotics.
What do you mean before the antibiotic will be out of the milk?
What happens is if there's several ways to treat a cow. You can inject her with penicillin, for instance. The potential for the penicillin to go through her system and
be eliminated,
come into the milk, is there. Or there are treatments that you can do that are intermammary treatments. So if you happen to have a case of mastitis, you could treat the cow with an intermammary infusion, and then that specifically says on the label, this is how long you have to wait before that milk can be consumed. Back to feed. Calves. It's pretty common in calf milk replacer to be able to buy a medicated milk replacer. And so you can have a calf and put it on milk replacer, and then they could be medicated. You don't have to. There's unmedicated, medicated. But in lactating cattle, there's no antibiotics in the feed.
I'm surprised in that trace amounts, significant amounts, any amounts.
It's
the planet. It's, you know, we just can't escape it.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. And what they have what they call a Delvo test, which any farmer can purchase. And it's, you know, you take a milk sample and you can put it in there and you can check it for a tolerable limit. So the FDA has said, okay, this is how many parts per million of this particular antibiotic that we consider to be safe, or so that it won't cause allergic reactions or so on. And so each and every antibiotic is different. Every antibiotic is labeled with a withhold time, but some of them it's 6 milkings, some of it's 12 milkings, mm-hmm. some of it's mm-hmm. more than that.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm offering this amendment because of the testimony we had from the medical community to us the last time about the purpose of pasteurization is to kill the human pathogens. And so it doesn't matter if they're antibiotic resistant bacteria or not, they're going to be killed by the pasteurization. We had the testimony from the kids today. It's unsafe really to drink raw milk until it's boiled. So they did a boiling at home process. That was fine. But we have the same thing where we're getting a pasteurization process before it's consumed. So the problem is that we are treating the antibiotics as if, okay, you inject them into the animal, whether it's a goat or cattle, and then you wait the 6 milkings, 12 milkings till the antibiotics themselves have passed out. However, what happens is you're creating cultures of antibiotic resistant bacteria in the cattle or in the animal that you've treated, and they're going to be there. That's going to be the new flora of bacteria that are remaining in that animal, and they're going to remain in that animal. And that was the testimony that we had. So the problem that I have is if we are saying it's not the question of getting the antibiotic leached out of the system, it's a question of we are now going to take it so that we have antibiotic-resistant bacteria that are going to be in the milk. We are specifically saying that we are not going to kill those bacteria, that we are going to have that bacteria in that milk passed along through to the final consumer. And as all of us know, almost all of the milk consumed, not 100%, but most of the milk consumed in this state is consumed by kids. And as a public health matter, I just think that we have to back up very far before we say that we are going to knowingly allow antibiotics to be used in these animals, creating a flora of antibiotic resistant bacteria, and then allow those to pass untreated to the kids of our state. And so that's what this is trying to do. If we have people that are coming before us and saying we have goats and we keep these goats on this great organic diet and we keep them out here and there's only two goats and they don't have contact with other animals, they don't carry these illnesses and everything else, that's fine. If people want to do that and then sell to the final consumer, but if you're saying, oh, we have these animals in such condition that we need to be able to inject them with antibiotics occasionally and create these antibiotic-resistant flora in these, and then we want to be able to sell that product untreated to children, that's what this whole amendment is about.
Well, let me ask you, do you feel that that ought to be part of the labeling, that we should advise the end user that this product contains antibiotics or may contain antibiotics, or do you simply want to follow, I'm just asking if you want to follow your amendment exactly as written?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not concerned about the antibiotics. I think that the dairy industry has a fine system for getting the dosage. It says you got to wait 6 milkings or 12 milkings, you got to throw that milk away, or you got to feed it to pigs, or you have to do something else with it. It's not the antibiotics, it's the antibiotic resistant flora that is left in the animal that is going to be in the milk from that time on. And that was the testimony that we had from I believe it was the state veterinarian, the epidemiologist, and that's a problem because we know who's going to consume the milk. It's going to be kids. Mm-hmm. And so you can put a warning label on, but that's not who consumes the milk.
Okay. Another question. Representative Wilson.
I would like to ask DEC to come forward, Kristen to come forward, and are there any unforeseen consequences that we're not looking at right now or that we're not realizing right now at all?
Representative Wilson through the chair. I'm sorry, unforeseen consequences in relation to this amendment?
Yes.
I think you've already heard from people that are dairy farmers, you know, antibiotics are used in the industry. That's all animals are produced, you know, have usage of antibiotics. That's not unheard of. So I don't know. This is the first I've seen the amendment today, so I'm still would be reviewing it. But I think it's pretty clear that it would restrict all milk.
There is, you know, a part of this amendment, it has the word has ever been treated.
You're right.
Pretty far-reaching word. Representative Roses?
I did have a question along that line. What's the current practice for DEC if one of the dairy farmers had antibiotics injected and they didn't dispose of the milk and you were to find out, what's the ramifications?
Representative Roses, through the chair, our pasteurized milk ordinance that we implement in Alaska, it requires you to, as Mr. Feldman has indicated, not to milk your cows and have been treated within a certain range depending on what the antibiotic is. We test randomly for that at our lab, and occasionally we do find it, and we require them to recall the product if we find that it's already been sold before the test results have come back.
Thank you. So there's, Mr. Chair, so there is a recall process, but what happens to the farmer that knowingly and willingly submitted milk that they weren't supposed to? Is there some kind of penalty or?
Representative Rose says we have a variety of tools we can use to penalize individuals for breaking our laws, and it varies depending on the severity. And if we can fine, we can revoke their permit. If we feel that if the intent was criminal, we can take that route as well.
And so we currently don't have a law that's stated like this. It's part of the regulations in which they're supposed to conduct themselves as reputable businessmen, that they're supposed to dump it, and if they don't, they get penalized.
Correct.
And would that same statute apply to the raw milk product if this amendment were not to pass? Would the anticipation still be the same when you write the regulations that any antibiotic treated animals, milk would not be allowed to be passed on to the consumer?
Representative Roses, through the chair, I have to look at it, but I assume, as I've said before, we would try to model our existing program for pasteurized milk. So yes, there would be a requirement that you not sell antibiotic treated milk, but that again would require testing and monitoring on our part to make sure they weren't doing that.
And go ahead. One final question, and if this amendment were to pass, they still would have to be tested. You'd still have to make sure that the individual that was selling raw milk was still complying regardless. So it doesn't change the requirement for DEC to do random testing, nor does it require a change on the part of the person that's selling the raw milk product. They still are supposed to comply with it. But in this particular case, doesn't seem to me that we're doing anything any different, because they're already told right now you got to get rid of it.
Representative Roses of the chair, the problem, and I would need to go over this with some people in my department that I see, is one, how would we know, 2 years before had an animal had antibiotics injected? I mean, we...
Let me interrupt you here.
Sorry.
We're over time. I have a homework assignment for the committee members, and that's the fact sheet from the Office of the State Vet, which does address this question. But I'm also asking, I'm going to hold this bill, by the way. Tina and Joe McLaughlin, will you be available next time we meet, which is Wednesday at 1?
Mr. Chairman, this is Dr. Joe McLaughlin. Yes, I will be available.
And I appreciate that. And Tina, you or some other person similarly situated, will you be available for testimony back then in a couple of days at 1 o'clock?
Mr. Chair, I or someone will be available.
Okay, with that in mind, then I'm sorry, Representative Fairclough.
I have a question so that we can hopefully have closure the next time we meet. Representative Newman, are you trying to allow sales of the raw milk to the final, are you wanting to hold dairies to be able to wholesale it, retail it, or both?
Thank you for allowing me to say something. Through the chair, Representative Fairclough. It is my intent to allow a dairy farmer, being the person, to sell raw, unprocessed milk to somebody who wants to buy it, that consumer. Now, that consumer would probably be, it could be, who knows where that consumer would be. It might be somebody who comes to visit, somebody who bought some raw milk and uses it for their family, somebody comes to visit. That's my intent to do this, if I may, Mr. Chair, is for this amendment number 7, it literally gut this bill. It says any has ever been treated. You can never prove that. But
and I understand, and that's exactly my thought. The trouble is I'm having right now is
yes.
I'm supposed to be somewhere else, and I'm hindering someone else's committee by not being there, and I intend we'll be revisiting this the next time.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a solution answer to question. Do you want me to get – I wanted the committee to hear it. I was wondering if the person could be substituted for the word dairies or producers, just so Representative Newman knows where I'm going.
Yes.
That's why I asked the wholesale retail question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
With that, we're adjourned.